Morning, everybody. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion this morning. This Sunday is the third Sunday of Lent. As we sit, let's prepare ourselves for worship. Lord, as we gather here in this place and this time, a familiar place, a special time set in our calendars, a time that we call Lent. We thank you that we are here to meet with you afresh. May our gathering today be a time and space when we find a moment of meeting with you, when that veil that at times covers our world and our lives is removed and we see your glory. Glory revealed in the beauty of the universe you have created. Beauty revealed in the community we are part of. Beauty revealed to us in your presence in this world. And most of all, beauty revealed in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us again today to come away with you to a quiet place, to meet with you in new ways, ways that help us glimpse how things really are when we truly come into your presence, and when we truly allow your light to transform us and the whole world. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'd like to stand, we'll sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 1199, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. As we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect Prayer for the third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, we have our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and all it is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 599, When We Walk With the Lord.
Thank you.
hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. This is the second chapter of John's gospel. We begin at verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord. May I speak only in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. David and I were talking before the service about the readings today, and we agreed that I had drawn the short straw and he had got away with it. They're quite straightforward but theologically difficult readings. So during the week I was thinking about the gospel reading, and I must admit that I couldn't help feeling a certain sympathy for all those people who John records as asking Jesus various questions. I can just imagine the awkward silence falling at those who asked the question in the first place as they looked at each other and tried to work out how on earth Jesus' answer bore any relation to the question that they'd asked. Today, we got this confusion between Jews' physical temple, which had taken 46 years to build, and then Jesus' statement that, as they thought, he was going to raise it again in 3 days. Of course, it was in fact his body he was talking about. But if that wasn't confusing enough, what about the confusion you might see in our two readings from Exodus and from 1 Corinthians? Are they not in direct conflict with each other? Are these not two completely opposite pictures of the nature of God? Well, maybe yes and maybe no. So we'll just try briefly to explore that a little bit further. First of all, the God of the Ten Commandments. The God of the Ten Commandments is surely painted here as a God who loves law and order. Law and order and rules. And if we're going to please this God, all we have to do is follow this set of rules. The God portrayed in 1 Corinthians, on the other hand, is incomprehensible, beyond all understanding, possibly even anarchic. The only way of pleasing him, you might be persuaded to think, is to get rid of your own understanding of order and status, and to preach and believe Christ crucified as the defining picture of God. So here we are. We're halfway through Lent, and I imagine some of us might want to take the 1 Corinthians reading of the nature of God right out of context and allow ourselves to give up safely any idea of rules and discipline. God's not a bit like that, we tell ourselves. comfortably as we sip our first glass of wine for a couple of weeks. He's only interested in grace, not law. But I have to tell you that there's a long-standing Christian tradition that sees Lenten discipline as a perfect response to the potential anarchy that we see in 1 Corinthians. The reality of Lent is that it is a time for reminding ourselves that the world may not be quite what it seems. Lent nudges us into thinking about what we're here for, which is more than just living comfortable lives with as little unpleasantness as possible. So the desert fathers and mothers of the early Christian centuries went out into the wilderness, partly at least as a challenge to the increasing wealth and secularism of the cities that they'd left behind. Don't forget, their lives literally shouted, don't forget that God is unpredictable. We're being fed here in the desert with food far more fitted to our needs than all the riches spread out on your groaning tables, or words to that effect. And of course, most of us are not called into the desert, as it were. We do all need to allow God to surprise us from time to time, though, by leaving our comforts behind, at least for a little while. Lent, in other words. But if you think that the Ten Commandments are the other side of God, the safe side that you can get back to when you've dipped your toe into Lent, if you think that, then you might need to think again. The Ten Commandments aim to create a society that can recognize that strange, irrational side of God and still be able to preach Christ crucified, as Paul put it when writing to the Corinthians. If we have changed the commandments into a tame, safe set of rules, it's only because we have a genius for dumbing God down. Dumbing him down to the point where we stop hearing him at all. If you forget everything you thought you knew about the Ten Commandments and then read them again, it is clear that God is asking something quite extraordinary of his people. Effectively, he's asking them to throw away all their comforts and securities and rely on him alone. He wants them to forget all the normal rules of power and dominance and instead build a society that will reflect his own seeming preference for the poor and the powerless. The Israelites are understandably terrified. In my own mind, I couldn't help it. I couldn't shake this image of Charlton Heston coming down the mountain, wreathed in smoke and fire, too holy even for the priests to approach, clutching this message, this picture of how the people of God should live. But above all things, they now have to believe that only this God is real and holy. No other backups are allowed. But terror was short-lived for those Israelites in exactly the same way that it is often just as short-lived for us. We are really good at forgetting. And those rules, they're hard and strange. Why waste a whole day on resting? You can't even choose which day. And you can't make your slaves work on that day either. One whole day, when you have to remember that the world is not just there for you to use. And if that isn't weird enough, then you have a set of rules designed to prevent people from using their natural advantages and talents for their own ends. The strong simply can't take just what they want. The clever can't lie their way out of things, and the sexy can't just go off with a better model. So how does all this fit in with what happened in our gospel reading this morning? Why was Jesus so peeved by what was happening in the temple? He had to talk about how he would die for the sins of mankind and then be raised from the dead 3 days later. In the meantime, all and sundry are just carrying on, business as usual. They were putting more energy into haggling over a pigeon than into praising God for his presence, his mercy, his forgiveness, goodness, his saving love. And before we get all holier than thou, because we wouldn't spoil worship in that way, would we? We need to be careful and remember just exactly what worship is. When we think about worship, do we pay attention most to what God does or what we do? It is a vital question. I would summarise Christian worship by a downward pointing arrow. An arrow that's there to remind us that the main thing that happens in worship is that God comes to us. God comes to be present in our midst with forgiveness, favour and blessing. Now, of course, we respond with praise and loving service, but that's just our response. We prepare and we respond because, first of all, God comes to us. If our actions take over and we forget the first bit, that God comes to us, then it will all be wrong. So God comes to us in worship, a precious gift. God's presence, life and goodness are made available to us in word and sacrament. God gives freely, and like beggars, we receive. We respond to what God has done. It's God who forgives our sin, shows mercy, gives freedom and life, warmth and meaning. What God does is the main bit. God's people have always been asked to live in response to God's creating and saving goodness. That's what the Ten Commandments are really all about. They're not a measuring stick to gauge if I'm good enough or if I've done enough. They're an invitation to enter into God's goodness and to live a certain way. They're an invitation to a life of trust, a life that responds to what's most important, and that is God's action. These commandments may not be the kind of rational system that you or I might have come up with in the first place. Rather, they are the kind of foolishness that Paul was talking about. The foolishness of that same God who demonstrated his holy might and power on the cross. So I hope you can see that there is no real conflict between these two pictures of God. Ultimately, they paint the same picture of a God who wants the very best for us. But, and there's always a but, we should heed the warning contained in our gospel reading. So may God keep on disturbing our business as usual, so that we remain receptive and responsive to the love that gives eternal life. Because if we have in any way forgotten those Ten Commandments and the message of the cross, then we should be ready for the same reaction that Jesus gave those money changers in the temple. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, to many these days, the Ten Commandments seem irrelevant and foolish. However, they are full of your wisdom in the way that you want us to be and shaping us to your original design. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for all those who are perishing to see the wisdom of the cross and that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. May we also not try to impress others with our own wisdom, but impress them with our faith in your wisdom, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. In this month of March, the hatred and cruelties of men and women are no less marked than in any other month. Violence continues to destroy lives and dreams in the Ukraine and Gaza, and in other countries in the world we hear little about. We're ashamed of our common humanity, but know you will not turn away and reject us, Lord. Bring the combatants together, we pray. May their negotiations be as realistic as Lent and as hopeful as spring. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, Lent reminds us of our own poverty. If we measure wealth in terms of spiritual well-being, emotional maturity, and moral confidence, but we pray also for those who know the sharp poverties of money, livelihood, opportunity, and health. May we pray especially for those that are ill and uncertain about the future, for those facing medical treatment this week, and for those whose lives have been reduced to a bed and a chair. In a moment of silence, we bring to you, Lord, those whom we know personally in these situations, who need your prayers at this time. We especially bring to you those listed on our notice sheet this week as well. Amanda Ricketts, continuing with more chemo. The Fort family on the safe birth of Alfred. I add Joyce Feacock now to continue her little holiday in Berry Lodge. And with thanks and continued prayers on the positive update of Caden Edwards. Lord, in your mercy. As nature begins to wake up and shake off winter's sleep, thank you for the purity of the snowdrops, the striking colours of the crocuses, the wavy yellow heads of the early daffodils, such encouragement to eyes bored with brown. Give us hearts full of anticipation as spring arrives, fresh and on time, and again you demonstrate your faithfulness and patience, Father, through the natural world. Make us faithful too, both in our relationships and the way we live our faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? We affirm our faith by saying together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The face of God shines brightly on us, that we might be saved. The love of God revives us, that we might call upon God's name. Seek out the shining face of God in one another as we share the peace of Christ. And so may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. as we stand, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 156, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 7. Eucharistic Prayer 2. The Lord is here.
His Spirit
is with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift
them
to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Please sit or kneel for our prayer. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we and all the company of saints may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. And on page 17, with confidence as our Saviour taught us, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. This in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve your body and soul to eternal life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve your body and soul to eternal life. Top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time to stand and sing our final hymn, which is hymn 1047, These Are the Days of Elijah. We stand to sing. To our homes with this blessing. So may the Father, from whom every family in earth and heaven receives its name, strengthen you with his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that, knowing his love, broad and long, deep and high, beyond our knowledge, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and those for whom you pray, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord.